This is Christian Questions.
W. Clement Stone once said, "Have the courage to say no. Have the courage to face the truth. Do the right thing because it's right. These are the magic keys to living your life with integrity." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad that you are with us this fine Sunday morning, and we're glad you've made that choice. Jonathan, what is our subject today?
Okay, Rick, our question this morning is, do the unborn have rights? And our theme text is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 44. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy."
Yeah, this is a tough one. Listen to these statements. It's a woman's right to choose, a woman's right to privacy. Lose your choice, lose your freedom. A woman's body is her most prized possession. All of these slogans are centerpieces of the unending controversy surrounding abortion, which is a legal procedure. But should it be legal, and should it be so accessible? Are there reasons to doubt its place in our world for the sake of the unborn and for the sake of the potential mothers? Folks, stay with us this morning as we look into this very, very difficult subject and try and establish a biblical perspective on rights, life, and courage in the face of very great challenge. So, Jonathan, this morning we're talking about abortion.
And this is a very tough subject to talk about, Rick.
Yeah,
heart-wrenching
subject. It is heart-wrenching. And first thing I want to do before we even get started is I want to make an apology. I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize to those folks who helped me so much with preparation with the sound bites, for making them go through all kinds of hours of stuff on this. I want to apologize to Julie and our Rewind crew for having to deal with this. Nobody likes this subject, and whenever we bring it up, everybody complains and says, do we have to? And the answer is yes. Yes, we do, because this is one of those difficult, difficult things that I also want to apologize to our call screener. She's waving to me from the other room.
Don't forget me.
I don't want to do this. But you know what, Jonathan? This is such an important thing because it is part of the fabric of our society. And really, the question is, should it be? So let's get started with this right off the bat. We're going to go to a soundbite. This is Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York talking about women's rights. And just an interesting way to begin our program.
There is no doubt that these bills show a heinous disregard for the health and well-being of women in America. It is a tax on all women who want access to a full range of reproductive health care. It undermines the woman's ability to make her own decisions, the most important decisions in her life, with her and her doctor.
Okay, so you have a very vocal representative talking about the woman's ability to make the most important decisions in her life regarding a full range of reproductive health care. Now, that's a very nice way of saying of being able to continue to get abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what it is. There's obviously other things involved, but that's a big part of this. And making these very important life-changing decisions with her doctor. I want to hang on to that thought as we go through this, because, folks, what we're going to find out is sometimes the things talked about are not the reality.
Good point.
And we want to get down to the reality on this subject. Again, a very difficult subject. So, folks, if you have thoughts on abortion, yes or no, maybe you've had experiences, maybe some very unfortunate experiences with it, let us know at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now.
And again, our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, Jonathan, we went to a website called AbortionFacts.com, and there was a list of a pro-choice perspective on the matter. We didn't rewrite the entire list, but here's selected quotes from this. It begins, it says, I am pro-choice. I am not one person, but many. Here is what I believe. Now, we're going to go through these bullet points. We're going to list them off now, and then we're going to come back to them throughout the program.
All right. Beginning, the fetus is not a human, just a mass of tissue.
Abortion is safe.
Every child should be a wanted child.
The number of abortions is relatively small.
Nobody has the right to impose their morals on me.
A woman should be able to control her own body.
Abortion must be kept legal, especially for all the rape and incest pregnancies.
If abortion is outlawed, women would be forced to go to back alley abortion clinics.
Aborting unwanted children reduces the number of abused children.
So those points, Jonathan, we're going to go through them sometimes one at a time, sometimes two at a time, and just see, okay, this is a belief system. Let's look at some statistics and let's look at a biblical perspective and see what we can draw from it. So as we begin to get started with that, let's go through another soundbite. Now, this is from a different perspective, because one of the things that it said here that Senator Gillibrand said is, you know, this woman's right to choose and to make the decisions for her own life. We're going to hear from somebody. Her name is Muriel. We found this on YouTube. There's a ton of stuff on YouTube, and sometimes it's hard to find. And it was under Muriel Regrets Her Abortion. Okay?
Okay.
That was the title of the YouTube clip. And I just want to listen to just a small portion of what she had to say.
My fiancé picked me up, and we never talked about it again, but I left him after our honeymoon. I suffered from after effects of the abortion, like within 3 weeks, illnesses that had to be treated by prednisone all through my 20s. And later in my late 20s, I became pregnant again. I had this baby, and at the end of the pregnancy, my illness went away. My baby healed me. If it was the hormones from pregnancy and lactation, I don't know what it was. But I was healed, and I realized what joy of motherhood I robbed myself of.
Now, I don't know if you heard her voice started to crack at the end there.
I did.
But she said, I realized what joy of motherhood I robbed myself of. And the segment goes on and on, and she explains in detail, you know, how difficult it was after her abortion. But when you think about it and you look at the experience of this one woman, you say, okay, now is that an isolated case, or are there a lot of cases like that? And folks, again, if you look into it, I think what you're going to find is there's a lot more individuals who suffer great suffering than we're led to believe.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And it's interesting that abortion broke up her marriage, and it ruined her life for many, many years. And it was having another baby that this particular woman, it helped to get her on back on a positive road. So just an interesting perspective that's very contrary to the perspective that we heard earlier in the segment here.
That's right.
Now let's go to that question or that statement from the pro-choice individual that says the fetus is not a human, it's just a mass of tissue. Well, let's look at what this mass of tissue does and how it develops very quickly.
Well, in 15 to 17 days, the circulatory system begins to develop.
Okay, so once you have that fertilized egg, 15 to 17 days later, there is a circulatory system developing. 15 to 17, that's 2.5 weeks.
20 days, brain and nervous systems are established.
So it's got a brain in that little tiny being after 20 days.
21 days, the heart begins beating.
3 weeks. 3 weeks after this, the egg is fertilized, you have a heartbeat. 3 weeks.
28 days, the backbone and muscle are forming. Arms, legs, eyes have begun to show.
Okay, now, interesting. Well, what happens in 35 days?
The brainwave activity is recorded.
Now, think about this, Jonathan, for a second. Most women don't find out they're pregnant till the 28 to 35 day range.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you find out, and by the time you find out, you've got a circulatory system, a brain and a nervous system, you've got a heartbeat, you've got backbone and muscles forming, you've got arms, eyes, and legs beginning to show in brainwave activity. And that's when you find out that you're pregnant. Think about that.
Wow. 42 days, the brain begins to control movement of muscles and organs.
So in just 42 days, the brain is giving directions now.
Listen to this. 63 days, fingerprints are already evident on the skin.
So in 2 months, a little bit over 2 months, you have a baby with fingerprints.
At 8 weeks, all organs and systems are present. The time for 8 weeks until birth will be spent growing and maturing.
So those first 8 weeks are putting all the building blocks in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you have those building blocks beginning to develop each individually and very, very specifically.
And Rick, at 10 weeks, squints if face is stroked. And they try to grasp objects placed in the hand at 10 weeks.
At 10 weeks. And most abortions are done in the first trimester, the first 3 months. So that would be 3 months would be 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is before that.
Right. So all of these things are happening during the time when the vast majority of abortions happen. And let's be real about it. You know, if you have an abortion early, I think, now I don't know for sure, but I think the feeling is, well, you know, you're taking care of the problem before there's anything going on because it's just a mass of tissue.
Rick, everything's going on.
Well, you're right. You're right. Everything's going on. As a matter of fact, Jonathan, before we go any further, folks, I really, really, really want you to look into Seek Your Rewind, the full edition this week, because in the full edition, in the bonus material, we have pages of showing the development almost day by day and week by week and a load of pictures of what it looks like at each stage.
And the miracle of God's creation.
And that is the best way to describe it. Now, CQ Rewind is exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.net. It is a free service. You want to sign up for the full edition because the bonus material is only available through the full edition and not the summary edition. And what happens is it's an email that gets sent to you once a week with a PDF attachment. You can unsubscribe at any time with the click of a button, but you really want to see this.
Again, only at ChristianQuestions.net.
That's right. That's the only place in the whole world you can get this. So, Jonathan, as we go back over our first segment here, we are looking at this statement that a woman's body is her own. A woman's rights are her own. If you take away her rights to make choices about her body, you take away her freedom, and we have no right to do that. Now, I agree with that to a large extent. I guess the question that we have to begin to ask ourselves is there another body involved in this that should have rights? Is there another being? Is it just a mass of tissue that happens to have a circulatory system, a brain and nervous system, a heart that actually beats, a backbone and muscles, arms, legs, and eyes, and brainwave activity? Is that just a mass of tissue, or is there more to it than all of this?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? Since life is in the blood and a mother's blood nourishes her body, does a mother's blood nourish the embryo directly? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Now, Jonathan, I got to ask you, what were you trying to say at the end of the last segment?
It's called brain freeze there.
I know you don't like the subject, but...
Well, I was talking about life is in the blood, and the mother's blood nourishes her own body. Now, Does a mother's blood nourish an embryo directly?
Was the question. Okay, yeah. Got it. And we will absolutely get to that in a moment here. First of all, a scripture that we should have read in the last segment, but we didn't. Psalm 139, 13 and 14.
For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well.
There's something very, very important, I think, about that particular scripture. It talks about you wove me in my mother's womb. And I think what that tells us is God's creative process is at work inside the mother's womb. And it's very obvious when you look at the stats that we were just talking about what happens when,
right,
and look at pictures of development and all of those kinds of things. It gives you a sense of God's presence in that creative process. Now, abortion takes that creative process and cuts it off and kills it. That's what it does. Women do have a right to an abortion in this country because it's legal.
They do.
We are not here to talk about the political aspects of this. We're here to talk about the personal aspects of it and the repercussions personally. Do we want to influence people's decision making? Absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Are we looking at it from a political standpoint? Absolutely not. So let's just make sure that we understand that. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL.
And the conversation continues online at christianquestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog.
Jonathan, let's look at Deuteronomy 12, 22 and 23 and get into that issue of blood that you were talking about.
Just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat.
So there's an interesting statement in Deuteronomy. It says the blood is the life. You may not eat the life, the blood, with the meat. So life is in the blood. It's interesting that in the scriptures, that was revealed long before science figured it out.
That's right.
Just a side point on the the
wisdom of God.
The wisdom of God being revealed in the Holy Scriptures.
Yes.
And we know that a mother's blood nourishes her own body.
Mm-hmm.
Every organ in that mother's body is dependent on her own blood.
Yes.
Any blob of tissue in her body is nourished by her own blood. Any blob of tissue. If a woman has cancer, that cancer is nourished by whose blood?
Hers.
Her own.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you have cancer and you want to take it out, obviously you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of her own body. What about the embryo? Well, here's an interesting figure or fact, Jonathan. A mother's blood never nourishes an embryo directly.
It doesn't.
Through the placenta, her blood sends the nourishment through a I don't know the scientific name for the process, and the baby's blood nourishes itself. The mother's blood and the baby's blood may very well be different types.
Different types of blood. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And they never, ever, ever mix.
If they did, what would happen?
It would be deadly. It could be deadly for the mother and for the baby. So they don't mix. So for a woman to say that to control her own body is her right, she's right. The point is, there's another body inside of hers. Even at that very, very, very early age, it doesn't share her blood. Her blood can nourish a cancer, and we're all for taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is no cancer.
No.
This is no blob of tissue. This is a separate entity that is separate from the mother's body. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. Now, if you don't want to call in to the program, Rick, how can someone get a hold of us by email?
They can do that at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. That is a personal email, and you'll get a personal response in a timely fashion. So if you don't want to talk on the phone, certainly do that, Rick, at christianquestions.net. So, Jonathan, we've talked about the point of the fetus is not human, just a mass of tissue. Not. You know, is abortion safe? And every child should be a wanted child. Those were two points from the first segment.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. Is abortion safe? And to set that up, let's go to another soundbite. This is from a film, actually, called Blood Money. You can find it at bloodmoneyfilm.com.
This is interesting.
This is disturbing as well. It's very interesting. It's disturbing. Carol Everett was a woman who ran an abortion clinic for several years. And so she's given you the inside story on abortions. And this is a little bit of the concept of, is it really pro-choice?
In most cases, it's not a choice at all. A decision is reached without all the facts or based on misinformation. Other options are not presented, and a deadly course of action is forced on a woman.
We have to talk about something that uses lies, coercion.
The number one slogan for abortion is pro-choice. And the ironic thing about that slogan is that when you ask women who had abortions, why did you have that abortion? The number one response is, I felt that I had no choice.
Wow.
And that really, really puts things in a very different perspective than we might have looked at. Because remember that very first soundbite we played? It talks about the woman having the right to make the choices with her doctor.
And the response is, I felt that I had no choice.
In the majority of cases, that's what happens. Well, I felt like I had no choice. Well, let's look at, and this is from, what we're going to be talking about now is from abortion-not.org. It's a comparison of abortion versus what he calls in this little chart ethical surgery. So, Jonathan, with abortion, the payment situation is you pay cash at the door.
All right. For ethical surgery, you pay later.
With abortion, there's a pathological exam. Well, not really. It's seldom that you have a real pathological exam.
Well, with ethical surgery, it's routine, Rick.
How about counseling? Usually with abortion, the counseling is very quick and on the spot. It's like, make a decision now, otherwise you're going to regret it later.
Ethical surgery, it's done if needed.
What about a second opinion? With abortion, it's almost never, ever sought.
And ethical surgery, it's if needed.
How about informed consent? Legally, abortions do not require informed consent.
Wow. ethical surgery, it's always, Rick.
And here's where you get into, is abortion safe? Now, why is informed consent not legally required?
That's a good question.
That would take some of the safety away from the issue. Let's go down to a pre-op exam. Often, it's not done until it's mandatory and the woman is on the table.
With ethical surgery, it's detailed.
How about down to a husband's consent? With abortion, realize a husband's consent is not needed.
And with ethical surgery, it's expected, Rick.
Is a husband informed? With abortion, it's not necessary.
With ethical surgery, it's always, Rick.
Now, here, Jonathan, here's where we really get down to it. And the question is abortion safe? How about consent of parents of a minor? With abortion, it's not necessary to get the consent of a parent.
Wow. With ethical surgery, it's legally required.
Are the parents informed in regards to abortion? Seldom.
With ethical surgery, legally required, Rick.
What about the reasons for abortion? Non-medical reasons are 99% of all abortions.
Ethical surgery, it's about 1%.
So, Jonathan, we have a major, major falling away between these two approaches.
It doesn't make sense.
Of course it doesn't make sense. Is abortion safe? Well, when you look at some of those things, let me give you an example, then we'll go to the phone. Okay? Let's say you're a parent and you have a 15-year-old daughter. Now, I have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
My daughters are both 15.
Yep.
So I am speaking from very personal experience here.
Okay.
You have a 15-year-old daughter, and let's say she comes down with a serious infection in her leg. The doctors are saying, well, you know, we might need to amputate. And there are other doctors that say, well, you know, maybe we can save the leg. Now, saving the leg may be a painful and difficult process. A decision needs to be made soon. Okay, well, what do you do? Well, wait, I forgot one detail. Because she's my daughter and her body is her own body, the doctors don't talk to me as her father. As a matter of fact, they're not allowed to talk to me, and they encourage my daughter to not talk to me and make the decision on her own because it's her body.
And this is 15 years old.
This is a 15-year-old.
Okay.
Would that make sense to you?
No.
Would you, if you were a dad in that situation, would you like want to punch somebody out?
it would get my blood boiling, Rick.
But see, that's what happens with abortion. You have a child in many, many, many instances who is told, you don't have to tell your parents, we'll take care of this with you. And they have a life-changing event that the parent is not allowed to know about. Does that make it safe or does that make it stupid? I'm sorry.
I'll take the latter.
I'm speaking from the standpoint of a parent of daughters. And believe me when I tell you, this is something that I look at very, very, very personally. Anyway, let me breathe a little bit. Why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Larry from Connecticut. Good morning, Larry, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thank you for having the courage to deal with this difficult topic. It's outrageous that in a civilized society that we can be killing unborn children like at the rate that we do. And by the way, you raise a very important question. Regardless where a person stands on abortion, these are goes to parental rights, where someone can take your child for surgery, like an abortion, without you even having the right to be informed about it.
Right.
Never mind your consent, but they can't take her on a class trip to a museum without your permission.
Good point.
This is schizophrenic. You know, even the scriptures tell us when life starts, when the Archangel Gabriel told the Blessed Mother to go to her cousin Elizabeth because she was with child. It took a couple of weeks for her to get there. And when she got there, Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Savior should come to me? When you approach me, the child in my womb leapt for joy." Well, imagine that. And the Blessed Mother was only a couple of weeks pregnant at that point.
Right.
So we know when life starts. You know, and we need to be aware of that. And it's not a safe procedure when one person always dies, and that's the unborn child. In 17 states, if you do harm to a pregnant woman and that child dies, that unborn child, you will be tried for the murder of an unborn person. However, in those same states, it's perfectly legal to kill that unborn person with the consent of the mother. Now, is it a person or is it not a person?
Right.
And these states are telling us it is a person. You know, so we need to take a look at our culture. And are we morally bankrupt that we can go along with something like this? It's not freedom, and it's not a right. It's a license to kill. That's what abortion is. And I thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Larry. We really appreciate your information and your help on this subject.
And you know, the thing about Larry that is so important is, and we know, because Larry has called us many times in the past, Larry is very passionate about this particular subject. And he's very outspoken about the protection of life. And he brings up...
And thank you, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely, thank you. It brings up very important points. The fact that there are 17 states in which if you kill a woman who's carrying a child, you can be tried for two murders. In those same states, though, abortion is legal. What the heck is wrong with this picture? I just don't get some things. And look, understanding that a woman has a right to make choices about her body is very important, and it is to be honored and respected. The question is, does an unborn have a right to be heard, even if they can't speak for themselves? That's what we're trying to do here, folks, as we look at this. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL.
We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go quickly to another soundbite. This is a woman named Melissa Odin, and I'm not going to – this was from CBN.com. I'm not going to tell you about this. I want to let her tell her story.
She was 14 when her older sister got pregnant out of wedlock and considered an abortion. Melissa's mother, Linda, wanted to stop her daughter from having the abortion and told her daughters the shocking circumstances of Melissa's birth.
She said, "You know, we never meant to keep it from you. There's no easy way to tell you this. Please know that we'll always love you." And then she just kind of blurted it out. She said, "You know, Melissa, your mother had an abortion during her fifth month of pregnancy with you, and you survived it."
So here you have a young woman, well, she's a mom now herself, talking about the circumstances of her birth. She was an aborted baby.
At 5 months.
At 5 months, and she survived. And the story goes how she was badly burned and all of that, and this other woman came in and was willing to adopt her in that condition, and she grew up to be a wonderful, wonderful individual. That was a botched abortion, and as a result, you have a wonderful life. Jonathan, very quick before we end this segment, Judges 13:3-5, it gives you a sense that what a mother does affects a child.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, or to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines."
So this was about the birth of Samson, and the mother was instructed to be very careful as she carried the baby. It tells us that what a mother does while pregnant affects the unborn child. See, the scriptures give us the value of the unborn. They're not just some mass of cells, but they are a developing human being, a developing personality.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, do the unborn have rights? Have you ever heard of post-abortion syndrome? It's real. You need to hear this. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, in the last segment we were talking about, is abortion safe? And by the mere fact of how it's done, you lose a myriad of safety features that are involved in normal surgery.
You're right. Now, Rick, we didn't really touch on the pro-choice concept of every child shall be a wanted child.
Every child should be a wanted child. Of course, I agree. Every child should be a wanted child. But let me ask you a question. Shouldn't everybody work at a job that they love?
They should.
Do they?
No.
Why? Why would they go through and have to work at the job that they don't like? Why would you do that? Look, I should be able to work at a job that I love, and I'm stuck with this job. I'm not going to do it anymore. Why do you do it?
For a responsibility, for taking care of your family.
So who made, in the vast majority of cases, who made the choice to get sexually involved and got pregnant? Did the child make that choice?
No.
No. So, of course, every child should be wanted. But sometimes we have a responsibility that we may feel is over our head, but it's our responsibility.
Yes.
You know, I was going to say man up, but, you know, woman up here. And just understand that parts of life bring different kinds of responsibility. And so, yes, every child should be wanted. But when they're not wanted, we got to suck it up and do what we need to do to give that child a chance at life. That's our perspective. It's 866-985-4255. Toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8.
And our website, again, christianquestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go through a number of statistics here. The number of abortions is relatively small, and nobody has the right to impose their morals on me. These are from that pro-life perspective.
Pro-choice.
That's mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
Sorry. Number of abortions is relatively small. Well, if we roll the clock back to 1962,
mm-hmm.
okay, and these are statistics that we have that you can get at CQ Rewind, the full edition from ChristianQuestions.net. We got the whole thing on there for you. You sign up for CQ Rewind, the full editions, exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.net. 1962, Jonathan, how many abortions were there?
Well, too many. 292.
Where? In the whole country?
Yeah.
And there were 4 million plus live births. Mm-hmm. In so that was less than 0.01%. You go to 1972, okay, in 1972, now you're approaching Roe v. Wade here, how many abortions were there?
586,000 plus.
586,000 plus, and there were 3.2 million live births, which means 15.3%. Now remember, the number of abortions is relatively small. Let's jump to 1975. How many abortions were there?
1,034,000.
And there were 3.1 million live births. That's 24.8%. The number of abortions is relatively small.
Huh?
No, it isn't. Jump down to the year 2008, which is the last year they have full stats on.
1,200,000, 12,000, just a lot.
1.2 million. There were 4.2 million live births. That's 22.2%. 1%. Folks, the number of abortions is relatively large.
It's huge.
It's huge. It really is.
It's awful.
It's a big, big number. Before we go to our next soundbite, Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Peter from Connecticut. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good topic, finally. Those who can't speak for themselves get spoken for.
Yes.
And I believe, I sincerely believe, the right to choose means prior to the event that does all of this.
Good point.
And the other thing is, these are separate individuals like you and I. Nobody landed here in a space capsule. Okay. The other issue would be when you're wanted or not. And people in this country who are unable to have their own children, married couples, are even forced to go to different countries because of the difficulties here. And when a child developing is aborted, a mother's body is changing all these times since conception, naturally. Now, if there is a miscarriage, which would be a natural rejection, your body, if you're a woman, is going to change. But when you go in there, when everything's perfectly all right, you're disrupting something, and that is even worse for your body. Even though you think you have the right to do something like that. So I'm not condemning a woman from being misled by those around her who have separate agendas about this topic, but it's very important, like you say, you've got to look and get more information than is allowed. And that was a very good point you brought up in the first segment.
All right, Peter, thanks so much. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. He made a great point. The right to choose, yes, a woman has a right to choose before she has sex. Yes, she does. Absolutely, positively. Once you do the act, now you've made your choice. You've made your choice. You have made your choice. Am I clear on that?
I think you did make that point.
Okay,
Rick.
You've made your choice. Let's go to, you had mentioned post-abortion syndrome.
Yes.
Let's go to another soundbite. This is from Dr. Karen Hunter, talking about post-abortion syndrome and what it is and what it does.
Guilt, anxiety and depression.
Just heartache, tremendous heartache.
Nightmares about their abortion, or their nightmares may be symbolic of their abortion.
I tried to commit suicide.
Post-abortion syndrome is a very real phenomenon to the woman who experiences it. If you talk to someone who's had an abortion, if they're open and honest and can talk to you about it, they will tell you that the anxiety and the guilt and the depression is a very real situation that they deal with on a daily basis.
So
your life is affected forever after an abortion.
And that's something that you don't hear a lot about.
You don't.
You know, post-traumatic stress disorder, that military folks go through,
yes,
was not something that was documented until relatively recently.
You're right.
And, you know, people that came back from, for instance, from World War II suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, but nobody understood what it was.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with abortion. It's a form of post-traumatic stress disorder, and it brings guilt and anxiety and depression and heartache and nightmares and sometimes attempted or
true suicide.
Absolutely. So it's something that's real. It is a side effect, like Peter was saying. It's a side effect that doesn't get talked about. But folks realize it is there. It is real. Let's, Jonathan, as we go through this, and folks, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our listeners need to check out CQ Rewind so that they can see all the bonus material and all the information that we have, pages of information.
You want the full edition of CQ Rewind, only available at ChristianQuestions.net. Just sign up for it. It's a free service. You can unsubscribe at any time. And especially this week, Jonathan, there is a ton of material that you don't want to miss. The scriptures don't talk about abortion, per se. In Exodus, there is an event that talks about someone causing the death of an unborn child, but it's not per se an abortion. Let's look at this real quick, then we'll go back to the phones.
If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe.
This scripture, admittedly, is a little bit ambiguous. It's really hard to tell. It talks about a woman's fruit departing from her. Fruit means literally something born, depart, to go out from. And mischief, if mischief follow, means hurt. And so it sounds like, it sounds to me like if two men are fighting and a woman gets injured, because a pregnant woman gets injured and she loses her child, it sounds like it may be life for life in this circumstance.
Mm.
If she is pushed into delivery at that point and the baby is born okay, it's different. But it sounds to me like a life for life situation. So it's hard to tell from the scripture.
It is. It
and
is.
Obviously, being pro-life, I'm going to look at it through those particular eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives us a sense that what it tells us, even if you're not sure of the exact meaning of the scripture, it tells us life in the womb
is valuable. It's important.
And sacred.
Yes.
It really, truly is. Let's go back to the phones.
We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Critical subject here. I appreciate it, Larry and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And I pipe in. I agree with you, your viewpoint on this very touchy, sensitive, critical subject. Reality check. Our priorities are warped. Our morals are decaying. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 2 through 5, but it's chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. We have the statement there that in these perilous times, there would be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And one of my favorite scriptures along these lines, which I've shared with you before, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof lead to death. Thank you for airing this very critical subject. I appreciate Larry and what Larry said, as well as Peter, and your willingness to put it on the air. It's a very timely subject. Thank you. God bless.
Well, thank you too, Julius.
Good day.
He brought out something important. Our priorities and morals are decaying. And that's why we end up where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you go back 40 or 50 years, abortion was almost non-existent in this country. How did all those women end up bearing all those children that they may not have wanted? They figured it out somehow, didn't they?
It worked.
But the minute you make something legal, you make it easy, and you cover up, literally cover up the side effects and the after effects, and then people run to the easy way out. And that's what abortion is. Abortion is a legal, unfortunately, legal and easy way out of bearing responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to. Julius, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. So when you think about all these unwanted children and imposing others' morals and all of these things, let's go to another soundbite, Jonathan, before this hour ends. This is Melissa Oden, the abortion survivor, and she talks about an alternative that I think everybody needs to understand.
There is no greater gift, I believe, that a woman can give than life to a child. And if she believes that she can't provide for that child forever, that the next best thing that she can do for that child then is to give them the joy of being with another family for adoption.
And adoption.
And she was adopted because she survived a botched abortion. So she's speaking from experience. I was adopted. Somebody saved my life when I wasn't wanted.
And loved me for the rest of my life.
And so it gives you a sense of how important it is. There is another alternative. Is it harder? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. You have no idea. You bring a life into the world and give them a chance to grow to potential. Jonathan, very quick, go to Isaiah 49:1.
Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named me.
So God, and also this is mentioned in Jeremiah 1:5, we won't read it right now, but what it's saying is, from his mother's womb, the Lord called Isaiah. From his mother's womb, the Lord called Jeremiah. These are two great prophets, two great spokesmen for God. How did the Lord identify them? From the time that they were being developed in their mother's womb, there was the potential of a mouthpiece for God in there. God saw it, God drew them out and gave them a job to do, and he determined that job before they were born. That's how God views the unborn, folks. He views them with great respect and honor and sacredness. We ought to do the same as well. In the next hour, we're going to go a little bit more into some of the real details of how abortion works. It's a tough subject, but you don't want to miss it, so stay with us. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all that, but until then, do the unborn have rights? Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
H. Jackson Brown once said, "Live so that when your children think of fairness and integrity, they think of you." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, this biblical topic this morning is a very difficult topic this morning.
It really is, Rick. Our question is, do the unborn have rights? And our theme text is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 44. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy."
And we are looking at the debate, the controversy surrounding abortion. In the first hour, we talked about a lot of things. Before we get into that, I do want to welcome in our listeners at 100.3 WNOX FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you're with us for this hour. I want to remind you that the first hour will be available to you as an archive at ChristianQuestions.net a little bit later today. And you can listen live to the first hour if you're not near your radio on your computer by going to ChristianQuestions.net, clicking that listen live button, and no matter where you are, you can hear what's going on here. But again, welcome in. We're glad to have you with us, WNOX in Knoxville. So, Jonathan, let's just touch on the things that we talked about in the first hour. Is it a baby or is it just a mass of tissue?
Well, Rick, 15 to 17 days, a circulatory system begins to develop.
At 20 days, a brain and nervous system are established.
21 days, heart begins beating.
At 28 days, the backbone and muscles are forming. You've got arms, you've got legs, and eyes begin to show.
And in 35 days, the brainwave activity is recorded.
And Jonathan, it's within those first 35 days, all those things happen. That's when most women find out that they're pregnant.
That's right.
So you've got all of these things in place, and then you find out you're pregnant. So is that just a mass of tissue, or is it something different? That's the question. I know the answer, incidentally. And one other point we talked about, Jonathan, life is in the blood.
That's right.
And interesting point. A mother's blood nourishes her own body, right?
Correct.
But what happens to a mother's blood in the baby's body?
Well, the mother's blood never nourishes the embryo directly, Rick.
Ever.
Ever.
Because it could be a deadly situation if her blood went into the baby.
That's right.
So the fact that it has its own blood.
The embryo,
makes it different from any other mass, quote, mass of tissue, unquote, that is inside a mother. If a mother has cancer, you want to remove that cancer. That cancer is nourished by her own blood.
That's correct.
Directly. An embryo has its own circulatory system, its own heart,
its own blood,
its own brain. It is not just a mere mass of tissue.
It can be a different blood type.
I'll tell you, for those folks who are tuning in right now for the first time, and we're all fired up over here, I'll tell you that. It's a very, very important subject. And Jonathan, a couple of other things before we get back to the subject matter.
If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, and you can contact us on the web at ChristianQuestions.net. Now, there are many archive programs you can listen to on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first, the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. Now, it's a free download. But the second, CQ Rewind, is the full edition. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, plus bonus material, transcripts, fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge, but you have to sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net, CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
And especially this week, Jonathan, the CQ Rewind, the full edition that you sign up for, and it is free. We have a load of stuff in the bonus material, some pictures to verify the statistics, the background on the statistics to verify what we're talking about this morning.
The development of the embryo.
You got it. You got to sign up for it. Because you got to. That's why. ChristianQuestions.net. Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite here. We obviously, I think you can tell by our tone where we stand on the issue. But let's go to, we're going to listen to Ashley Judd. She's an actress, doing a Pro-Choice America commercial.
Hi, I'm Ashley Judd, and I'm reaching out to you today on behalf of NARAL Pro-Choice America. I know many Americans can't conceive of living in a country where they don't have freedom over their own choices. In fact, as Americans, we can scarcely imagine that once a freedom is gained, it could ever be taken away. But that is by no means guaranteed. When 87% of counties in the United States have no abortion provider, one in four young women has a sexually transmitted infection, and women with valid birth control prescriptions are being turned away, we have hard work before us to ensure that the right to choose is not a right in name only.
So there you have the pro-abortion perspective that, look, 87% of counties in the U.S. have no abortion provider. Well, then how the heck do we have 1.2 million abortions per year?
That's a good question.
And that's 22% of all pregnancies are aborted. So it's not like it's not available. Okay, but she's saying you don't want the woman's right to choose to be taken away. I agree. You don't want a woman's right to choose to be taken away, but you do want to recognize the unborn's right to be able to live because they have a right to live. They're not some blob of tissue. They are a little tiny being that is miraculously being formed and developed inside of the mother. Jonathan, we're going through a number of points from a pro choice perspective, and one of those points that we want to touch on now is a woman should be able to control her own body. And look, I agree with that. I do. However, let's get to Luke 1:39-44.
Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy."
Now, Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant at this time. And this is a graphic illustration of the miracle of life inside the womb. There are things that are happening in there that we just don't realize, we don't understand. And, you know, Jonathan, a mother has a tremendous influence over that unborn child.
She sure does.
So does the father. So does her circumstances. There are signs that tell us that when the mother feels stressed, the child feels stressed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can see there's a connection, but there's also a different, separate life. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's show topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
Yeah, Facebook is a great place to go and post comments and get some kind of a conversation going on this because, you know, everybody likes Facebook.
Oh, yes.
So go to our Facebook page. You can find it at ChristianQuestions.net. Very easy to log into. So, Jonathan, we're looking at that scripture that gives us a sense of life before birth is vital.
Mm-hmm.
There are things going on inside of that womb that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
That's right.
And it's something that's incredibly important and incredibly valuable. I want to go to another soundbite. This was from that film Blood Money. You can find it at bloodmoneyfilm.com. Carol Everett was an abortion clinic provider. She provided, I don't know, what was it, 20 or 30 abortions per day. You know, she had a real system going. And some interesting points from this film that we need to talk about regarding partial birth abortions.
Now, abortions are done through all 9 months of pregnancy, not because of Roe v. Wade, but because of Doe v. Bolte that said for the health of the mother, an abortion can be completed through all 9 months of pregnancy. But the problem was that health was defined as mental health. And we would say to this scared young woman, you would have problems with this pregnancy should you carry it to term, wouldn't you? She'd say yes, and we'd chart it emotional health.
Emotional health.
That was it?
Yeah.
That's the justification?
Right there. And understand the way this woman spoke that sentence. In sales, the way she phrased that sentence, that's called a tie down.
Mm.
Whenever you end a sentence with a wouldn't you or shouldn't you or couldn't you, It's a very directed statement. Jonathan, you want to talk with me about this, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He really doesn't. He doesn't like the subject. But see, the tie down is very leading. And so they get that, and now they've got the emotional stress. And for emotional health's sake, they say, okay, you can have this abortion.
And the money at the door.
And the money at the door. One of the things people say, you know, a woman should be able to control her own body. One of the big outcries is, well, what about rape and incest? Those are terrible, terrible things. The woman had no choice in those things. And you're right. The woman had no choice in those things. The question is, in regards to partial birth abortions. Now, Jonathan, partial birth abortions are done in the third trimester.
Okay.
The baby is turned around, partially born, and then killed before the birth is complete. I won't go into the details on how it's done. It is disgusting. If you want to know, you can go find it on the web. You're not going to like it, but it's true. How many partial birth abortions are done because of rape and incest? How many? Well, we happen to have some numbers here. Now, you'd think that it's got to be, well, I don't know what, 25, 30% of them at least.
It sounds like they're using this as the reason why
it's
okay. Right,
because the woman had no choice.
Yeah.
Well, here's the fact. In terms of rape, what's the percentage?
0.3%.
Okay, 0.3% of partial birth abortions are as a result of rape. That's not even 1% of them.
Well, Rick, with incest, it's 0.03%.
0.03%.
Yeah.
So those are lame excuses. Bottom line, that's a lame excuse. Don't make that the excuse for something. If it in relation to the physical health of the mother, how many partial birth abortions are done?
0.2%.
So that's 0.2%. I'm sorry, that was the physical life of the mother. That's right. Physical health of the mother.
1%.
Fetal health.
0.5%, Rick.
And the rest, 98%, are still due to personal choice. Let's think about that for a moment, folks. You have this rape incest excuse and argument. It is not an argument because there are so few pregnancies. Now, you have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make the whole argument about something that is less than a 0.5%. Don't make the whole argument about that because you have no leg to stand
on. Or 2% total because they're comparing the 98%. With the 2%.
Right, okay, but I'm just talking about the rape and the incest. You're
right,
talking physical life of the mother,
right,
physical health,
exactly,
and fetal. Well, you're right, that's 2% total.
Yeah, total.
You can't make the whole argument based on 2%. Come on, folks. If you have a thought, it's 866. We'll be nice, I promise. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Okay, we had touched on the birth of Samson before, so I don't necessarily need to go into it at this point. But just for the sake of repeating, Judges 13, verses 3 to 7, talks about the angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother. And he tells her, be careful what you eat and what you drink, because this baby you're going to have is going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be serving me for his entire life. And it tells us the sacredness of life before birth.
Yes.
So when we ask the question, a woman should be able to control her own body, yes, she should. Absolutely. The question is, what control do you have over the body, over the life that's inside of you that is not your body? It has a different blood, it has a different heart, it has a different brain, it has different circulation, a circulatory system, it has its own bones, it has its own eyes and hands and feet. That's a different body, that's a different circumstance. So a woman should control her own body, absolutely. They should also respect the body of others.
This is Christian Questions, I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? Coming up next segment, the dark secret, shame, especially in the church, soundbite. You need to stay tuned.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, we are talking about abortion, a very difficult subject. And, you know, we talk about this periodically. And folks, I'd encourage you to go to the archives at christianquestions.net. Back in February of 2010, we talked about this subject in great detail. And we handled it differently.
Yes, it was very hard to read through that one.
We went through abortion procedures and we graphically described what happens during abortion procedures.
In full detail.
Yeah, yeah, and Jonathan never forgave me for that.
No.
But you want to use that as a touchstone and put it together with what we're talking about this morning.
Because that's the reality of it.
Right, and it gives you a real clear picture of things. You know, one of the pro-abortion perspectives is abortion must be kept legal, especially for all the rape and incest pregnancies. And also, if abortion is outlawed, then women will be forced to go to back alley clinics.
So,
or maybe they could just take the responsibility for bearing a child. Think about that. But anyway, let's look at some statistics on that, Jonathan. Abortion must be kept legal, especially for all the rape and incest pregnancies. Last segment, we touched on partial birth abortion, which is
only
late term.
Right.
Right. And it was 0.3%, essentially, for rape and incest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was a very tiny. Well, what about all abortions? What is the percentage of all abortions that have as the most important reason either rape or incest? Let's add the two together. And again, you would think that because this is brought up in the argument
so much,
that it would be a relatively large number. Well, what's a relatively large number? Is it 10%? Is it 15? Is it 20?
How about 0.5%?
How about it?
That's
for,
it.
For both of them together?
Yes.
Okay, so it's less.
For all abortions.
Less than 0.5% of all abortions, the primary reason is rape or incest. Less than 0.5%.
That's it.
What are some of the bigger percentages? What are some of the bigger reasons that people have abortions?
Well, if they're not ready, if they're unready, 25%.
So 25% get an abortion because they don't feel like they're ready to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1/4 of all abortions. That would be about 300,000 per year. Okay? Less than 0.5% is 6,000 per year.
Compared to 1.2 million.
Right. What about, what's the next biggest reason that women have abortions?
Has problems with relationship or wants to avoid single parenthood. It's 8%.
Well, no, there's one even bigger than that. Go down. There's two more bigger than that.
Oh, yeah.
Can't afford a baby now?
23%, Rick.
So 25% say the biggest reason is they're unready. 23% say they can't afford a baby now. And 19% say what?
Has all the children she wanted or all children are grown.
So when you add those up, you've got 25, 45, 46, 47, 48, 50. 67% of abortions, 2/3, are because women feel unready, they can't afford a baby, or they already have enough kids, and that's the end of it. That's 2/3, where 0.5% is due to rape or incest. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Let us know your thoughts. And if you would like to contact us but not call on the phone, you can email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Jonathan, I want to tell, before we go to a soundbite, I want to tell a quick story, a quick personal experience that I had several years ago. Was asleep one night, And in the middle of the night, our phone rang. And it was a young lady that I knew. She lived in a different part of the country. And she said she needed to talk to me about something. Now, this was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. So I'm groggy, and I'm trying to wake up. And she says, I'm going to go have an abortion tomorrow morning. And so I'm thinking...
You woke up quickly.
Yeah, I did. It's like, you know, get your head on straight here. So she's telling me that she's not married, she's young, she can't afford a baby, and she needs to go get this abortion. So I asked her, well, why are you calling me? She said, because I just want to talk to you about it. So I just started asking her a whole bunch of questions. She wanted me to tell her what to do, and I wouldn't do it. Instead, I just asked her questions about... What do you think? What do you believe? And so we talked about it at great length. And then we talked about adoption. And I said to her, I said, look, what if you carry the baby to term? Because what you're telling me is you think that you're going to feel guilty. So what if you carry the baby to term and give it to a family that can raise the child? What about that option? And so we talked about that at great length. And, you know, she got off the phone with me. I don't know, maybe it was an hour later. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And so I waited, and a couple of days later, she called me back, and she said, I decided to not have the abortion, and I'm going to give the baby up for adoption. And Jonathan, I will tell you, it was the greatest sigh of relief.
Wow.
I talked to her several years later, maybe 12 or 13 years later, and she said that she had followed through. She gave the baby up for adoption, and she actually had established a relationship with the child several years later. And so there was a happily ever after to that particular story.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, the message is there is another way. Is it difficult? Yes. Does it save life? Yes. Does it give someone an opportunity to have their potential develop? Yes.
Without guilt?
Yeah.
And depression?
Right. You know, and look, giving the baby up for adoption was hard, but it was the right thing to do. The right thing is not always the easy thing. Let's remember that. Again, folks, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And again, our subject, do the unborn have rights? And our website, christianquestions.net.
And make sure you go to Seek Your Rewind at christianquestions.net, and make sure you sign up for the full edition. It's a free service. It's an email once a week that has a PDF attached to it. And the bonus material, Jonathan, this week, you saw it. It's
a tremendous, there's a ton of stuff.
Tremendous value in relation to this subject.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to another soundbite. This is about post-abortion syndrome. And we had touched on post-traumatic stress disorder in the first hour a little bit. This is Dr. Karen Hunter expanding the thoughts about the connection between the two.
Post-abortion syndrome is really a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. It's coping with a trauma. And women have a tremendous difficulty coping with the painful emotions and thoughts that are associated with an abortion experience.
43% of American women are post-abortive. And in the church, I suspect it's a higher percentage because women are broken. And the church is filled with broken people. And they hide. It's a secret. Women are so wounded.
Now, there's a statistic there that I could not verify.
Okay.
But that number, she said 43% of American women are post-abortive. So what she's saying is 43% of women have had an abortion. That's astounding.
Mm.
Now, I couldn't verify that.
Okay.
But still, what if it's 25%? That's an amazing number.
It is.
And she's saying, you know, they hide in church. They hide in church. It's this deep, dark secret that they can't talk about because the guilt overwhelms them.
Mm.
That should tell us something about the depth of difficulty that happens after abortion. And why aren't women told about this? Women are told at abortion clinics, oh, you'll be fine. You'll feel depressed for a few days, but you'll get over it. No. So many women go through their lives depressed and unsure and sad and broken as a result of that decision.
And maybe even suicidal.
There are many instances, unfortunately, you're right, of suicide. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16.
But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood.
So this is the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, this great mouthpiece for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When did God see him and choose him?
From his mother's womb.
Isn't that an amazing thing? The Apostle Paul was chosen when he was that little tiny fetus or embryo developing with at 21 days, he had a heartbeat.
Rick, this brings a sacred view of the unborn.
It is. It is incredibly sacred. And when you see that all of the parts, you know, this idea that it's just a mass of tissue, don't worry about it. Sure, it's a mass of tissue with a heart, with a brain, with a circulatory system, with arms and legs, and just the beginning of eyes and bones and brain waves, and that's all within the first 5 weeks.
Mm.
It's all within it's no mass of tissue, and it's got its own blood.
It's a miracle is what it is.
It is, and the Apostle Paul is called from that perspective, from there to serve God. God sees the unborn as alive. There's no doubt about this. There is no doubt about this. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL.
We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
All right. Let's go to another soundbite. This is from Canadian TV. This is a Canadian TV piece called The Dark Secret, Life After Abortion. It was from the show called 100 Huntley Street. And again, this is just giving a sense of the difficulty. Jonathan, this is heart-wrenching when you listen to this. I'm not going to say much. Just listen.
Shame, says author Jenny McDermott, is a common emotion for many women after an abortion, especially in the church.
You've got to understand that an abortion choice, this kind of grief, is particularly difficult because we've brought it on ourselves. And it is our own child that is lost at our own hand. And when you consider how the pro-life people and Christians feel about it and think about their condemnation, you know, they hate what we have done. But believe me, they don't hate what we have done as much as we hate what we have done.
That speaks volumes.
There's the reality.
There is, and that's the best way to say it. She says this grief is particularly difficult because it's our own child that is lost at our own hand. And she says, pro-life people hate what we have done, and she's right about that. But the thing that got to me is what she said afterwards. But believe me, they don't hate what we have done as much as we hate what we have done. So, folks, if you are in a situation where you have an unwanted pregnancy and you're thinking about, I can't afford this baby. How am I ever going to raise this child? It's not possible. I'm a single mom, or I've already had enough children, or circumstances were such. It was a one night stand. Whatever it is, think about that. Think about how so many women, after doing that, get into a situation where they hate what they have done. And you know what, Jonathan? You can never take it back.
You can't.
You can never take it back. Job, this is an exhausting subject.
It is. Heartbreaking.
I mean, it is. It's heartbreaking and it's exhausting all at the same time, but it's so important. It's just so important. Job laments his misfortunes. Remember Job, all this stuff he went through?
That's right.
It's interesting. He uses the example of the death of an infant, both before and after birth, in his lament for his own situation. Let's listen to what Job says.
Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves.
So what he's saying is, why didn't I just die right after I was born? Why was there a mother to take care of me? Because he's suffering through his life, dramatically suffering. He's lost everything. He's lost his family. He's lost his fortune. And you know, he's sick. He's got boils. Everything has gone against him. He's saying, why didn't I just die after I was born, and couldn't I have been buried in the earth? And then continue verse 16.
Or as in hidden, untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from trembling, and there the weary be at rest.
He said, or why wasn't I just miscarried?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, why am I going through all of this? And you know, he's lamenting great torment in his life, a great difficulty and great trial. And he goes back to the situation. But the fact is that he's recognizing the life before birth idea.
Yes.
And it's important to him. And again, in Job 10, 18 and 19, he brings out the same thing.
Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Would that I had died and not I had seen me? I should have been as though I had not been, carried from the womb to the tomb.
Okay. Jonathan, you know what? We're just about at the end of the segment. Maybe we can fit one call in very quickly. Let's go to the phones.
We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Joshua 10:37. They put it to the sword with its king, all its towns and every person there, leaving no survivors, just as Joshua had done to Eglon. In Christian history, we find the development of salvation empathy. Old Testament enemies of Israel are just that, enemies. In God's fulfillment in Christ, we find God in all, Jew or Greek, slave or free, born or unborn. Isaiah 65:19-20, I will rejoice in Jerusalem. No longer shall be in an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. The development of empathy for the unborn is part of this growth. Race relations, women's rights, for example, are marked by the knowledge that there is a connection between all. The Christian must witness to the unborn by a holy life in all matters, compassion and new life for all life in Christ. Matthew 9:17, rather they pour new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved.
Randall, thanks so much.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. We'll make some comments on his comments in the next segment. Folks, this is such an important subject. The unborn, their right to live. That's really the bottom line here.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, do the unborn have rights? Does the number of abused children relate in any way to the number of unaborted children? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do the unborn have rights? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, you had mentioned something at the end of the last segment about aborting unwanted children. A pro-abortion stance says, well, aborting unwanted children reduces the number of abused children. And the logic is, well, they're not wanted, so they're going to get abused.
Okay.
The question is there a correlation between being wanted and being abused? And really, there isn't. Okay, just real quickly, a statistical look at this. First of all, children that are abused, 30% or more are children of abused children.
Mm.
Okay. Over the last 25 years, the instances of abortions have dipped a little bit from 1.2 million to down to, think about this, in this country, down to 1.2 million for 1.5 million. And yet the instances of abuse have dramatically skyrocketed. They're up over 130% in that period of time.
Wow.
From 1.4 million to 3.3 million. So the numbers have nothing to do with one another.
There's no relation.
No,
okay.
There's no correlation between the two. In our bonus material on CQ Rewind, the full edition, which you can find exclusively at ChristianQuestions.net, we've got more details on that, so you can look at it for yourself and sources as well. So, Jonathan, we're looking at the crime, if you will. I know it's legal, but I'm going to call it a crime. The crime of taking a life of an unborn. We're going to play a soundbite that, folks, if you've got children listening, for the next minute or so, they shouldn't listen to this.
No.
But we're going to play it because you need to hear it. This was found on YouTube, and the title, I'm just going to read you the title so you can look it up yourself. I would encourage you, if you've got the stomach, to watch it. It says, baby screams for help during an abortion procedure. There's nothing about a baby screaming in this particular soundbite, but it gives you a graphic illustration of what happens.
The pieces of the body are torn away one by one, until finally all that remains are shards of the body and the head itself. The head will be too large to come through this instrument itself. This will necessitate the introduction of this instrument called a polyp forcep into the uterus through the already dilated cervix, and the abortionist will then attempt to grasp the free floating head of the child in the uterus between the rings of this instrument. The head is then crushed, the contents of the head removed, and finally the bones of the head. And the abortion is then effectively at an end.
That is what happens. That's what happens. So when you are going to get rid of this massive tissue, think about it in those terms. It's a little bit different, isn't it?
Oh, it's awful.
It is. But folks, it's something you need to understand. Now, let's change gears for a moment as we begin to wind this thing up. What if you had an abortion? What about forgiveness? Where do you go now that maybe you've done this and you're looking back on it and you're feeling that pain and that suffering and that grief that, look, Jonathan, you and I can't even imagine.
No, we can't.
We cannot even imagine. What do you do? Well, first, let's look at Psalm 103, verses 8 to 13. And as we do that, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
Don't forget our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Psalm 103, 8 to 13.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever.
That is great encouragement. It gives us a sense that he is gracious. He's abounding. He's overflowing with loving kindness. There's hope in that scripture. Let's continue with verse 11.
For as high as heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him.
So, look, it's a graphic illustration. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's the greatness of God's loving kindness towards us.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
So I think one of the answers to, well, what if you've done this and you're going through, you're guilt-ridden? That's understandable. But you go to God, bring your burden to him, and it says he has compassion on those who fear him. He will help to hold you and lift you up under such difficult circumstances. There is life that you can grasp onto, and there is forgiveness that you can actually make your own. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
So, again, a statement that says God is faithful. And what a powerful statement that is. God is faithful. Now, how do we come to God? We come through Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So if you are in a situation where you have done this thing, because you felt like you had no choice, or because you were in such despair you just didn't know what else to do, or because somebody talked you into whatever the reason, and you're looking back at yourself and you're feeling that internal guilt and it's eating you up, forgiveness from God through Christ is available.
He is so merciful.
We need to ask, and we need to live as though we are forgiven. We need to put ourselves in a position where all of these things can be brought back into perspective. It's a process. God is not going to grant forgiveness and just like that, all of a sudden you're better.
We need to learn from our mistakes, Rick.
And we need to live differently. And like so many people who've had abortions now speak out against them.
Mm-hmm.
Just put ourselves in a different perspective. But there's life. There is life if you seek God's forgiveness. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website again, ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite. And this is called it was from a presentation, The Reality of Abortion. It's called Song of a Child. We've been speaking for the child.
Mm-hmm.
That does not have a voice. Well, this is a song from the perspective of the unborn child. We're just going to play the first verse of this song because it gives us a sense of the life and the reality of the life in the womb and how it, if it had a voice, this is what it would say. From the standpoint of the unborn child, I hear my mommy talk. You know, an unborn child can hear voices.
Oh, absolutely. And our son did.
Well, how so?
Well, every night I sang to my wife's belly several songs. And when he was born, he came out screaming and crying, and I instantly started singing one of the songs that I soothed him at night. He stopped immediately, and he was calm and at peace. He knew the song. He knew the voice.
Doesn't that just sends shivers up my spine when I hear you tell that? And I mean, I've heard you tell that story before, and it's an amazing thing. So that is the voice of the child that doesn't have a voice. And that child has such an attachment to its mother from before birth all the way through childhood. Don't allow that attachment to get lost just because of the stress and the pressures of life. It just is just incredibly difficult. And Jonathan, you know what? Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes you might get yourself into situations such as an unwanted pregnancy that'll ruin your plans. It'll change your course and permanently redirect your life. Whether this pregnancy was caused by foolishness or violence, the trauma is still present. According to the law, you do have choices. And no matter which option you choose, you must realize that it will affect you for the rest of your life. So no matter what option you choose, it has an effect. Now, what should you do? You could end the pregnancy to avoid the changes and the inconveniences that are sure to follow. By law, you can do that. But what are the lasting results of such an action? You see, we never know. Suicide, depression, and guilt have been reported as very possible outcomes. Worse than those difficulties, there is now a life that can no longer be lived. Abortion is a basic moral matter. If you would be courageous and take the time to simply look at pictures of fetal development and understand the miraculous timeline of growth within the womb, the presence of precious life is undeniable. If you're very brave, you can view the barbaric and graphic and mournful results of abortion on the web. Look, folks, if you're in the situation, don't live your life out of convenience. It will inevitably make you unhappy. Don't live your life wishing some things didn't happen. That simply destines you to relive the past rather than embracing the present. Don't live your life having to hide your decisions. Such actions swallow you up in guilt. Instead, do the right thing. Take full responsibility. Press forward in spite of the odds. Yeah, it's scary, and it is difficult. And you might be laughed at, and you're going to miss out on a lot of things. You're also going to save a life. A precious, precious human life with untapped potential. And in saving that life, in so doing, you're going to begin to find yourself. You begin to find happiness, a clear conscience, and a sense of well-being that can only come to those who preserve life. We're here to tell you today to choose life. That's what we're here to tell you today. Choose life. So, Jonathan, again, this is exhausting, but it's so important for those of you who have gone through an abortion and now you're feeling the effects of it. God is forgiving if you ask for forgiveness through Christ. He is forgiving. Try it. Don't hide that secret inside of you for the rest of your days. It is important not to do that. You know what, Jonathan? Let's quick go to the phones right now and see if we can fit a call in very fast.
All right. We have Dila from Tennessee. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I'd like to read a poem called A Loving Place.
Okay, it's going to have to be quick.
Okay. I wrote this for the Right to Life of Michigan, and they published it for me. As I lay comforted within my mommy's womb, I feel her every motion as if she steps to an unheard tune. I just know she's taken me somewhere special today. She seems to be more relaxed as if she's happy and gay. It's not going to be too long before I go out into the world. Maybe then I can stretch out and let my little toes uncurl. Mommy's laying down now. It must be time to rest. I too am tired and feel that I am truly loved and blessed. I see something shiny just glancing off my face. I wonder why it's here rushing toward my base. I feel something touching my tiny little toes, grabbing at my legs and pulling as it goes. I finally get to breathe air by God's loving grace. And boy, I can't wait to see my mommy's gentle face. Someone is grabbing me with a forceful hold. I never knew the world could be so awfully cold. I can't see any light yet, but something's hurting my little head. God said the world would hurt me and soon I would be dead. My life was just beginning to awaken a lost friend. Then something took hold of me and made all my moments in. I'm warning all the others not to go to the ugly world, for your mommy won't allow your little toes and fingers to uncurl. The angels are singing, glad that I am home. God embraces me in love and tells me I'm not at all alone.
Della, we have to go. We're out of time. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but our time is up. Folks, understand, if you've been in the situation, Matthew 12:20, a battered reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. Find the goodness of God through Jesus in your life and apply it. Do the right thing. Look at what abortion is for what it is, and then make a decision based on the real life circumstances and facts. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, do the unborn have rights? Please make comments on Facebook for us. We'd love to hear from you. Until next week, think about it.